Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for this Christ the King Sunday is taken from the 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Again, we hear from verse 38. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." This is God's word. Have you ever participated in a scavenger hunt? At the beginning, you're given a list of things you have to find and accumulate. Now, all kinds of things may be on that list. The first group back with all the items and information wins. But before you get the prize, someone has to check off each item to make sure that you found everything that you say that you did. Is that the way it's going to be on the Day of Judgment? The passage from Matthew says, "The king will be seated on the throne of glory and will gather all the nations before him. Then he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from goats." And what happens next? Is it a scavenger hunt checkoff list? Let's see. Yes, you once gave food to a hungry person. Check. There's a time you gave water to a thirsty child. Check. Visited a jail. Check. Called on someone who was sick. Check. Is Jesus suggesting that you can make it into heaven by checking the right boxes? We know this runs counter to the core teaching of the gospel, so it can't mean that. So what does it mean? And by the way, to be perfectly candid, when I read this list that Jesus develops, I realize there's no way that I've been generous enough. I come away feeling more than a bit guilty that I have ignored people who have been crying out for help for whatever reason. I've been too busy or preoccupied. A lot of boxes left unchecked. What's Jesus getting at? I'd like to suggest that the scenario Jesus describes strikes right at the heart of a basic human problem, and it all comes down to this. What do you think about those people called the least? This is a crucial question because, and I can't stress this enough, this is a crucial question because Jesus identifies himself with the least. We're being asked, as Jesus tells this story, have you seen him in the face of the hungry, the stranger, the vulnerable, the sick, the prisoner? Our Lord could not be more straightforward. Jesus is teaching that he is mysteriously present to us in those who need our help. When we see Jesus in the faces of the disadvantaged, we will want to respond with love. and address that person's need. It follows that when we don't see Jesus in the face of others, when we refuse to see him there, we will not want to reach out in love to that person. And in fact, we can be quite harsh and judgmental with them. We worship a God who is entangled in the suffering of humanity. We worship a God who chooses not to untangle. He chooses not to untangle all the knots and problems of our world from the safety of heaven. Instead, he invites you to partner with him, to join your love to his love, to reach out to the suffering in our world and to start working on knots with him. This includes, but is certainly not limited to, reaching out to our sick friends, making a meal for a grieving family, welcoming the stranger here at church, engaging with people who we know who are depressed and doubting God's love, people who need words of reassurance and hope. And yes, it means being understanding and supporting the members of our families, showing genuine love to our friends, and praying for our enemies. We are to see the face of Jesus in the faces of those people and tend to them in the same way Jesus has tended to us in our times of need. But Jesus goes even further than that. Remember, he is talking about the least. The least important, people whom others regard as insignificant, people who are easily forgotten, people who are out of sight and so are out of mind. The love of Christ animates our thoughts and enables us to adopt his values, values that are upside down by the world's standards. Values in which the last, or the least, are first. Here's a story of which there are a number of variations, but they all have the same basic plot. There's an old cobbler by the name of Conrad, let's call him, who dreamed one night that Jesus was going to come to him the next day and be his guest. And that dream was so real to him that the next day when he got up, he set about decorating his little shop with bright flowers and greenery. He set a table with milk and honey and bread, and he waited for Jesus to show up. And while he was waiting, a beggar walked down the street. It started to rain, terrible conditions. Conrad called him in and gave him a pair of shoes. Later on that day, an elderly woman came bent from the weight of a heavy burden. He lifted the load off of her back and shared his food with her. And finally, just before the day was about to fade into darkness, a little child showed up at his door. Her cheeks were wet with tears. Conrad gave her a glass of milk and led her back to her mother. But Jesus never showed up. And Conrad was disappointed. But that evening, as he dozed off in front of the fireplace, he happened to hear a still, small voice say, Lift up your heart, for I have kept my word. 3 times I came to your friendly door. 3 times my shadow was on your floor. I was the beggar with the bruised feet. I was the woman you gave to eat. I was the child on the homeless street. That story beautifully echoes Jesus' statement, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did to me. You see, Jesus doesn't need our good works. He's doing just fine. He's seated on the throne of God, resurrected and glorified, King of His kingdom, ruling over the entire universe. Jesus doesn't need your good works. But your neighbor does. The people referred to as the least definitely need them. And when you move to help them, unselfconsciously, forgetting yourself and concentrating on their need, you elevate them and glorify God at the same time. And the power source for this outlook on life, this approach to living, comes from Jesus Himself. It is yours by faith. In fact, the more you focus on Jesus, the better. After all, when we were naked, spiritually exposed and shamed, He clothed us in His own goodness. When we were in prison, condemned, sentenced to death for sins, He visited and released us. When we were parched and starving, God satisfied our souls with Himself, and He continues to nourish us with the body and blood of His Son. In Jesus' death on the cross, He became the very least, descending all the way under our sin. And in His resurrection, He is raised all the way to heaven's throne. The Lord Jesus loves the least so much that He became the least in order to lift the least to a place of greatness. And it is this willingness to descend, to come down into it, to get your hands dirty in order to pull others out and lift them up. That's what we mean when we say that an attitude or an action is Christ-like. So let me ask you again, what do you think about those who are called the least? Please join me in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, King Jesus, whom we pray will come and come soon, we humbly pray that this day, as we consider Your kingship, Your reign, and Your judgment, that You would help to remove fear from our hearts as we consider the moment at which you will judge us. Because we know that every last bit of judgment against our sin and our shame and our guilt was visited upon the very King himself, Jesus, on the cross. And that in response to that great gift, you have called us into a life of service to our neighbor, to everyone who needs our help. And that we render that work to you not out of duty or obligation or of trying to accrue enough good to outweigh the bad. We've set all those ways of thinking aside, and instead, all the good that we do is our thank you for what you have done for us. That means that our labor in the kingdom can be joyful. It can be directed at you as our praise. And it has the benefit of truly helping men and women who need material help and who, above all, need to know that they are deeply loved and forgiven by the sacrifice and the resurrection of Jesus. May our waiting for you to return be characterized by this activity of loving others as you have loved us. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.